Good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome to Coffee and Devotions. This is where every day you and I, we get together, we have a little bit of coffee, we get into God's Word, and we grow in our love for the Lord together. And Lord willing, this year, 2022, we'll make it from the book of Genesis to Leviticus. Why don't we have some coffee, we'll pray, and we'll get into the Lord's Word. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for waking us up this morning, for giving us a blessing and opportunity to worship you, to pray to you, to come before you in your word, and to be taught by you. Lord, we pray that you would please help us this morning. We need the help of your Holy Spirit to understand what's being said here and how it applies to our lives. So Lord, please help us in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so we are at Genesis chapter 29. Genesis chapter 29, let me grab my glasses and my Bible here. Genesis chapter 29, verse 31. When the Lord saw that Leah was unloved, he opened her womb, but Rachel was barren. So Leah conceived and bore a son, and she called his name Reuben. For she said, "The Lord has surely looked on my affliction. Now therefore, my husband will love me." Then she conceived again and bore a son and said, "Because the Lord has heard that I am unloved, he has therefore given me this son also." And she called his name Simeon. She conceived again and bore a son and said, "Now this time my husband will become attached to me because I have borne him three sons." Therefore his name was called Levi. And she conceived again and bore a son and said, "Now I will praise the Lord." Therefore, she called his name Judah. Then she stopped bearing. I'm going to change up our normal routine here, and I'm going to focus on each one of these kind of little bits of the story within this large story. Notice that God sees the heartache of Leah, that she wants to be loved by her husband. And so the Lord sees that, and he blesses her for that. You know, God opens her womb so she could have children. And her desperate desire is to see the affection of her husband. She wants to see him love her, to care for her. See, this is what I'm trying to say. In all these stories that we find in the Old Testament of polygamy and stuff like this, it's not saying what ought to be, but it's just saying what is. This is what happened in life. But what we see here is the Lord takes notice of that pain. And he cares for her. But it takes time, over years, as she has child after child after child. She has four different children. And notice what she says in each different one. As she has Reuben, she says, "The Lord has seen my affliction. Now, therefore, my husband will love me." Right? And then she has Simeon, and similar thing. You know, she wants her husband to love her. And then Levi as well. Now my husband will become attached to me, for I've borne him three sons. When she gets to Judah, she realizes her affection has been in the wrong place. I'm not sure she's given up on Jacob, but she's realized her joy can't come from him. But it's the one who's opened her womb. Notice what she says when she has Levi. Now I will praise the Lord. Therefore, she called his name Judah. This is Judah's name, literally means to praise Yah. She's saying, I'm going to praise the Lord, right? My husband might not love me. I might not be the beloved of my husband, but I sure am of the Lord. God has blessed me. God has cared for me. God has loved me. And I will praise him. The Lord uses these many years and these four boys to turn her heart to himself. Now I will praise the Lord. So many times in our life, we are so desirous of the love of others, of the approval of others, and of the things of this world. And God will put us through various trials and even put blessings in our life. And they're meant to show us that he is worthy of the praise. Our present circumstances will not change. They may not get any better, but he is worthy of praise. He gives us good gifts. He loves us. He takes notice of our affliction, and he cares for us. Well, this begins a new section in the story, and Rachel saw that she bore Jacob no children. And Rachel envied her sister and said to Jacob, "Give me children, else I die." Quite a demand of your husband, right? Give me children. Well, Jacob understandably in verse 2, now, and Jacob's anger was aroused against Rachel, and he said, "Am I in the place of God, who has withheld from you the fruit of the womb?" Right? What's he saying here? I can't give you a kid. Right? This is when it says that he gets angry at her, right? This is a fight in their marriage. And I'm not convinced that this is the only time this fight has happened, but this has been brooding. You know, Rachel is mad. Right? He loves her, but yet they haven't had any kids. She's not getting any younger, and she's in childbearing age, and she's mad. Why can I not have a kid? Why won't you give me a son? Jacob, I'm not God. I didn't create life. You can't do this. You can't put me in that place. You can't be mad at me. So she does something radical. In her rivalry against Leah, she does something that should never have happened. So she said, "Here is my maid, Bilhah." Seems like Jacob didn't learn from his grandpa Abraham when Sarah gave him Hagar. "Here is my maid, Bilhah. Go into her, and she will bear a child on my knees, that I also may have children by her." Then she gave him Bilhah, her maid, as a wife. And Jacob went into her, and Bilhah conceived and bore Jacob a son. Then Rachel said, "God has judged my case, and he has also heard my voice and given me a son." Therefore she called his name Dan. And Rachel's maid Bilhah conceived again and bore Jacob a second son. Then Rachel said, "With great wrestling I have wrestled with my sister, and indeed I have prevailed." So she called his name Naphtali. Now, so again, one of these parts in the story, there's many parts in this story that we just shake our heads, right? This family drama, the rivalry between the sisters. She's so desperate to get a leg up on her sister, so desperate to have an inheritance better than her sister, so desperate to be the first, that she's even willing to have her husband sleep with yet another woman. And it's as if she takes Bilhah, her midwife, or her lady in waiting. You take her maid, and she gives her to her husband. Hey, the fidelity is not there. This is what happens when sin and rivalry and dissensions happen. Making rash decisions. She doesn't just do it once. She does it twice. This is an irrevocable decision. And once this happens, there's no going back. She has two surrogate children. Well, it doesn't stop. Verse 9, when Leah saw that she had stopped bearing, she took Zilpah, her maid. Oh, and she follows in her tracks, right? She took Zilpah, her maid, and gave her to Jacob as wife. And Leah's maid, Zilpah, bore Jacob a son. Then Leah said, "A troop comes." And she called his name Gad. And Leah's maid, Zilpah, bore Jacob a second son. Then Leah said, "I am happy, for the daughters will call me blessed." So she called his name Asher. Now, okay, well, I'll get to verse 14 in a second. This is the same thing, right? Rachel does this. She gets a leg up. She kind of chips away a little bit at the inheritance. And so what does Leah do? Leah says, "Well, hey, that worked. I'll go ahead and do it myself." And so she gives Zilpah, her maid, to Jacob. Now Jacob has gone from no wives, seeking out a wife in Padan Aram, to now having four wives. Now he's got all these children, and this family is messed up. Of course there's going to be rivalry. Of course there's going to be fighting. The parents are fighting. The wives are jealous. Jacob is a pawn in all of this. It seems as if he's gleefully going along, but he gets mad because he can't produce an heir that he desires, but yet he loves one woman but not the other. Everything about this is just wrong. Now, Reuben went in the days of wheat harvest and found mandrakes in the field and brought them to his mother Leah. Then Rachel said to Leah, "Please give me some of your son's mandrakes." But she said to her, "Is it a small matter that you have taken away my husband? Would you take away my son's mandrakes also?" So Rachel said, "Therefore he will lie with you tonight for your son's mandrakes." So when Jacob came out of the field in the evening, Leah went out to meet him and said, "You must come in to me, for I have surely hired you with my son's mandrakes." And he lay with her that night. And God listened to Leah, and she conceived and bore Jacob a fifth son. Leah said, "God has given me my wages because I have given my maid to my husband." So she called his name Issachar. Then Leah conceived again and bore Jacob a sixth son. And Leah said, "God has endowed me with a good endowment. Now my husband will dwell with me because I have borne him six sons." And she called his name Zebulun. Afterwards, she bore a daughter and called her name Dinah. This is a weird story, is it not? Her son goes out, he finds some mandrakes in the field, and it's Rachel who seems to follow in line with Esau. All right, she's hungry, she wants food, and so it seems as if Jacob would regularly just sleep in Rachel's tent and not in Leah's, and Leah's desperate still for the affection of her husband, and rightly so. And Rachel comes and she says, "Let me have some of your son's mandrakes." And she says, "Jacob was married to me first. That wasn't enough. You stole my husband. Now you're going to steal food out of my kid's mouth too? What's wrong with you?" "It's fine. You can have your husband. I'll have the food." And so Leah is giddy about this, right? She thinks, well, that was quite a bargain. Now I can finally have my husband. Maybe I'll have his affection. So she goes out and meets him when he's on his way home from work. And she says, "I bought you, buddy. You're mine." How sad is this that she has to negotiate with someone else for the affection of her husband? Men, this is not the way it's supposed to be. Women, this is not the way it's supposed to be. And yet, this is where we find ourselves. Rachel is jealous of Leah. Leah is jealous of Rachel. Their kids are being used as pawns in the middle of this. Now, at this point, there's tons of kids. They're all over the place here. But verse 22, then God remembered Rachel, and God listened to her and opened her womb, and she conceived and bore a son. "God has taken away my reproach," she said. So she called his name Joseph and said, "The Lord shall add to me another son." So the Lord, during this whole time, still pays attention to Rachel. Leah's had this whole gaggle of children, but Rachel has never had a child at this point. She's seen her maid have children. She's seen Leah's maid have children. She's seen Leah herself have children, but this whole time she has yet to have any child. And the Lord sees her and he shows mercy and compassion. Aren't you glad? Now, I just need to stop here and say, aren't you glad God's mercy and care isn't dependent on our perfect obedience? You might say, what in the world, Brian? Well, yeah. Right, the Lord is blessing. He's taking notice even of Leah, Rachel, Bilhah, and Zilpha. Even though this story is messed up, people are doing sinful things, and yet the Lord cares for sinners. This is the amazing thing about the God of the Scriptures. It's not that he cares for us once we are perfect enough, but while we are yet sinners, he cares for us. And he keeps his promises. And so he gives Rachel a child. Joseph, the long-awaited son, the baby of the family. And Jacob's going to dote on this boy. It's going to cause problems. Oh, man, it's going to cause problems and heartache. But we see the beginning here of a pattern of God's faithfulness, even to sinful people. And this is keeping his promise. Remember what he had told him. Remember what he had told him when he was out at Bethel in verse 28. Your descendants shall be as the dust of the earth. And here Jacob has gone from a bachelor to four wives and a whole bunch of kids. Should it have happened this way? No, but did it happen this way? Yes. Right? Could Jacob have had 12 children with one wife? Absolutely, certainly that could have happened. I know families that have 10, 12 kids. But this is how the Lord is keeping his promise. The Lord is going to open the womb. It's God who creates children. So, what's the best verse to summarize? We've read a whole lot here. You know, in my Bible, I just have a few things underlined. I have a bunch underlined, all the names essentially. But in verse 31, I have that underlined, the Lord's attention to Leah when she's unloved. I also have verse 35, where she says, "Now I will praise the Lord," underlined. I also have verse 30, "Give me a child or else I die," and Jacob's anger underlined. I also have verse 22 underlined for the Lord seeing Rachel and opening her womb. Let me know down in the comments, what would you underline? Well, last, let's wrap this up. This has been a long one. See calling. What are we called to do? Do you trust in the Lord's promises? This is all, we keep bringing up this idea of covenant, but this is really the motive and theme of all of Scripture, God keeping his covenant promises. And this is what he's doing. He's being faithful to Jacob. Even though Jacob, Rachel, and Leah are sinners. I hope that gives you hope in your life. Because see, if God didn't show grace, mercy, care to anyone until they were perfect, we would all be in abject hopelessness. We wouldn't have any hope. We wouldn't have any ray of light or sunshine. It would all be, well, damnation. And yet the Lord is gracious. He's working, even through real history, through real people, through real events, to bring about his covenant promise. And it would be through that fourth child of Leah, through Judah, "Now I will praise the Lord," that one would come of that line who would be perfect. Jesus Christ, who would be tempted in every way as we are, yet without sin. And he would be the one who would redeem the world forever. And Jacob's promises would come to full fruition as all the Gentiles, all the nations would be blessed through him. So thank the Lord that he works through even sinful people and shows his grace even to sinners like us. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much that you are a generous, gracious, merciful God. Lord, we thank you that you have seen the plight that we make for ourselves, the problem that we are for ourselves, and that you do not wait for us to ship up and shape out, or shape up and ship out, Lord, but you, Father, are the one who redeems us from the destruction that we deserve. Father, we pray that you would please teach us from the story, the wreck that comes from our sin. Turn us away from it. Show us the way of escape. Lord, but we also pray that we might know that you are the one who cares for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, may the Lord bless you today. May you walk in the joy and peace of Jesus Christ, and I'll see you tomorrow. Bye.
Thanks for listening to this week's message from God's Word for You, a ministry of Sharon RP Church in rural Southeast Iowa. We pray that the message would be used by God to transform your faith and your life this week. If you'd like to get more information about us, feel free to go to the website, SharonRPC.org. We'd love to invite you to worship with us. Our worship time is 10 a.m. every Sunday at 25204 160th Avenue, Morning Sun, Iowa, 52640. May God richly bless you this week.